text for today is Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. And would you please stand if you are physically able? And I'll read these verses aloud, and you think, and you read along with me silently as you meditate on these truths, and then we'll spend a few minutes talking about them. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Read this way. It's speaking of Abraham. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, and as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Amen. Father, please meet us now in the scriptures. By the Spirit of God, would you prepare our minds and our hearts to have a real meeting with you now in the Word of God? Would you keep away distractions, and would you bind Satan, that we might truly have real liberty here today, and that you would be free now to complete the work that you have planned for your word among us. May your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. As we think about what's before us this morning, I want you to remember that throughout the New Testament, Abraham really is presented to all Christians, all believers, as an example or a model, right? Mm-hmm. And as you'll find as you read the Bible, that Abraham is a model of faith that leads to justification. He's also, the Bible portrays him as a model of a father, if you will, a father of all who believe. In other words, he is that example that you can follow. Look at verse 3, Romans 4, 3. It says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision as the seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well. I believe it's Galatians 3, which says that all who are Christ, or all who belong to Christ, are Abraham's offspring, right? Or Abraham's seed. So Abraham, throughout the Bible, is portrayed for the Christian as the model of faith. And so you and I are not to think that people were saved or some different way in the Old Testament. You're not to think that there was some different kind of grace or some different kind of faith. If everybody in heaven will be saved the same way, the same faith, the same grace, the same Christ.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he's a model for us. He was looking forward to Christ coming. You and I happen to be looking back at the reality that he's already come. Same. All right? And then finally, Abraham is a model of faith that is demonstrated by acts of obedience.
I forgot how James says it. Abraham...
let me read it. I forgot. It's James 2. And it has to do with him offering up his son. You'll probably remember the verse. What did I have here? James 2:21. Yet was not Abraham our father justified when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar, right? It's by his works, by his acts, he demonstrated that he already had Amen. Biblical faith, right? Amen. It was already there. He didn't work to get it. Amen. He already had it, therefore he worked. That's the way you and I are to model. When the faith is in you, then that faith will lead you to obey God. Now, today, as we think about our subject for today, will be believing in hope against hope. And I took these few verses and I divided up my thinking this way, and hopefully you can follow along with me. In verse 21, you're going to see what I call the basis of biblical faith, okay? In verse 19, you're going to see that there are obstacles to real faith. Even though it's real faith, there are obstacles, there are difficulties. And then finally, in verses 18 and 20, we'll see what I call the nature of biblical faith. So let's begin with verse 21. The basis of biblical faith. It says, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised, speaking of Abraham. So in this verse, I see what is the basis of faith. It's based, number one, on the promise of God. It has to be. It has to start somewhere. You just can't have faith in faith. Just because you believe something doesn't mean that it's true. You must believe things that are true, things that have some substance to them, right? That have credibility, that have, as Brother Billy said this earlier, authority. That's what you place your faith in that which has all authority. Isn't that what Jesus said when he rose from the dead? All exousia, all authority has been given to me. That's the reason we can trust this promise. And so in this case, God gave the promise of a son directly to Abraham. Yeah. Can you turn back to Genesis 12. Genesis 12 and verse 2. I'll read 1 and 2. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And then verse 2, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. Go over to chapter 17 and verses 15 and 16. And God said to Abram, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Amen. That promise was given directly to Abraham, all right? So there was no confusion about it. God made this promise to him. Now, this verse says that Abraham was fully convinced. Now, we need to talk about this a minute. He was fully convinced about the promise, even though at times his faith was weak.
Come on, brother.
At times, you look at him and it looks like there's no faith at all. Or you might wonder, how can this man be a model of faith? Don't miss this. This is really, really important. He still was fully convinced, even though he was struggling. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We just read the promise in Genesis 17, verses 15 and 16. Look at the next verse. After God made the promise to Abraham of a son, that Sarah was going to have him, look at verse 17. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? You would look at that and say, that is absolute unbelief. God says you'd be wrong. And therefore, you and I have to be careful when we judge others. Amen. And even when you look at your own circumstance, you see? That's the reason you have to be careful when you look at the life of Job. There were things said when he hurt and when he was angry, but that God said that he was a righteous man. He didn't say he was a perfect man. There's only one perfect man. You can still be righteous and have your own flaws. You shouldn't be settled with him. You should be working on him. But there is no perfect man or woman, no perfect Christian. You got it? So he was still fully convinced, even though his faith was weak. And so here's a statement I want everybody to leave with today. I think I wrote this one down. Look, I want you to understand that statement. Struggling or even weak faith is still faith. Amen. It's not unbelief. This is critical. Just because you're struggling doesn't mean that you don't trust God. There's a difference. You see, if you didn't trust God, you wouldn't be struggling.
Amen.
You didn't trust God, you just give up.
Amen.
But the Spirit in you won't let you give up, so you struggle. Even when you say things that you shouldn't say, God convicts you and you have to go back. I was going to leave this thing, but I can't go. I can't leave it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Struggle, but oh, that Spirit just, it brings you back when you're ready to change your mind, when you're ready, you see, to give up. And so struggling, or even weak faith, is still, you remember in Luke 17, when Jesus, I think he'd been talking about forgiveness. And then the disciples really looked at that and said, oh, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus said to them, I tell you, if you had the faith of this grain of mustard seed, you'd say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'd do it. Now look at it. In this culture, the grain of a mustard seed was probably one of the smallest grains there was. And so Jesus is saying, look at me, listen to me now. It's not the size of your faith. It's the quality of it. If it's real faith, it doesn't matter how little it is. It's just as much quality as whatever you consider to be big faith. Just make sure it's real faith. You got it? If it's real, keep it. It'll keep you. Right? So the basis of biblical faith is first the promise of God. And that faith has to be based in truth. Right? Not in you wishing that this is the way things are going to turn out. No, no. It's based in the truth and the promise of God.
Yes.
Secondly, you see here that the second pillar, if you will, of the basis for biblical faith is the power of God. Now, you saw Abraham struggle when God told him about this mighty miracle he was going to work. You saw him struggle to think about how totally, on a natural basis, this was. But you notice coming right on the heels of that, you go over to Genesis 18, and all it takes to get Abraham back where he needs to be is a reminder of God's limitless power. You see, that's the reason the Christian can be, they can look like they're so low. And you come in with just a word of encouragement, and it's like pouring water on a drooping plant. The plant is not dead, it's just weak and drooping, but you put that water on it and it springs back. You ever done that? It can come back overnight.
Yeah.
You look at it and it looks like it's gone, but you water that plant. I know, because I've done it. I don't have a green thumb, but I can catch them. I can catch them before they get away. I'm telling you, don't you give up on Christians just because they're withering. There's still life there. Life. Encourage them. Water that faith. So after Abraham and Sarah struggling, they both laughing because this is so laughable to think that God's going to do this mighty thing. Then the Lord has to say to them, is anything too hard for God? See, we need to remind each other at those times when you're struggling, wait a minute, this is not on you. When you're doing God's will now, don't misunderstand. I ain't talking about just because you want to do something. But when you're doing God's will, when it's based on the promise of God, then you can count on the power of God.
You remember I've told y'all about George Mueller's saying, God's will, done God's way, will have God's provision every time. That doesn't mean that you won't get low. That don't mean that you won't be hungry. Paul said, I've hungered, I've been hungry, I've been thirsty, I've been cold. Doesn't mean that you won't be unpleasant. It doesn't mean that you won't reach the point of death. It doesn't mean that people won't actually think they have killed you. You see, don't misunderstand that. That's not the issue. The issue is your faith. That faith is, will be there as long as you got life and breath. Isn't that good?
Amen.
That's the basis of biblical faith. The other thing I'll say about the power of God as the basis of biblical faith is that no natural limitation can prevent the limitless power of God from accomplishing His will.
Come on, brother.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so God's power is not dependent upon our strength. Listen to me. Neither is God's power limited because of our weakness.
Well,
isn't that good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's faith. You remember when the angel brought that word to Mary that as a virgin, mm-hmm. that she was going to conceive? And much like the same situation, in one case, you got folks that think they're way too old. In another case, you got Mary who's thinking, wait a minute. Not only am I way too young, but I'm a virgin. And I know a little bit, I might not have had biology class, but I know a little bit of something about how this works. And then, you see, the angel has to remind her, don't you depend on your biology.
Amen.
And your physiology and those things. Because the angel said, nothing will be impossible with God. You see, that same word of encouragement. And it's all that it took to stir up Mary's faith. Be it done. Lord, be it done, as you've said, right? So remember that that's the basis of biblical faith. And so as I leave this point, I want to say this to you. Just listen to this sentence that I wrote. Every believer should be fully convinced that God is able to do anything that He has promised in His Word or by His Spirit. Every one of us sitting here that's a Christian needs to be fully convinced that whatever God has promised, He is able to do it. If He's promised it in His Word, He's able to do it. And God actually makes promises from His Spirit to your spirit. You remember we looked at the book of James? And he said that there'd be times that the leaders would pray the prayer of faith. Where did that come from? God made it clear in their heart, I'm going to heal this person. And that is a sure promise from God that He was going to raise him up. You see, the apostles, they had that same word. When they'd go to someone, you remember Peter and John, they were going to pray, right? And as they were walking by, the Lord spoke, the Spirit of God caused them to fix their eyes on this man. And they knew God was going to heal him, okay? And so whatever God has promised, now don't go mystical on me here. I'm not talking about that. This is real biblical Christianity. There are times that God can confirm with surety in your heart something that He's planning to do.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't think God can speak, then come on, Christian. What kind of Christianity are you living? If God can't communicate with you, He's living. He's a living God.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, this word here is living, right?
Yeah.
And active and sharp. Just as He speaks from this page, His Spirit is alive. In specific situations to let you know exactly what God wants done.
Yeah,
that is His word to you.
Amen.
Whatever He has promised to do, He's able to do it.
Yes,
you got it?
Yes,
all right. Next, we'll look at what I call obstacles to biblical faith. Let me get back over here to Romans 4. And then that's in verse 19.
Verse 19 reads, "He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb." So there are basically two things that I, now I'm going to use these words, and you've got to think with me now. Don't fall behind on me because of the words. The first word is deadness. Deadness can be an obstacle, okay, to faith. And I'm going to show you what I mean by that. Abraham did not deny reality. Abraham wasn't walking around pretending that he was a young man. Christian, you don't have to do that. He did not deny that he was 100 years old. And I'm telling you, it's... I get surprised at Christians sometimes. Why are you ashamed of your age? The Bible says a gray head, that's a blessing from the Lord.
Yes, it is.
I didn't plan to go here, but I'm going to go here. So why are you ashamed of your gray hair? I'm serious. Well, see, the world has done that to us. Not the Bible. The Bible says that that's a blessing. Every time you look at a gray strand of hair, God, I've been blessed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have it if you hadn't been with me.
Yeah.
People come to me and ask me about it. I say, I earned every one of these gray hairs. Well, I don't mean that arrogantly. I'm just saying that. I'm not a Grecian farm kind of guy. I'm just not. And I feel that biblically that's correct. That's not arrogance. It's just when you see me, you see a testimony. I'm a living testimony of what God can do with a sinner. Again, I didn't plan to go down that road, but I just want you to think about it. Abraham did not go around pretending that he was young. He didn't deny that. Okay? And he likewise, he didn't deny that he didn't have the natural ability to become a father.
Yes.
And I'm telling you something, Christians, you need to be careful with all these commercials and things. You see, this world wants Christians to always think of yourself as young. No. David says, I was young, but what? I'm old. You need to know when you're old. And not let somebody else, and I'm not being sarcastic, but why does somebody else have to tell you when you're old? Because we perceive old as bad. That's what I'm saying to you. You can't do that. God says the older shall what? Teach the younger. So if you always want to be young, then how are you going to teach anybody? I mean, you know what I'm saying. Because they look at you as foolish as they are. And I definitely didn't mean to go there, but I'm just, these are practical things that we need to think about. I look at this one point here, and I just said, Abraham was for real.
Amen.
He knew he was, he was a man of faith. He did what God called him to do.
Amen.
But he didn't try to deny his natural circumstance. He didn't try to camouflage it. Okay. And I could spend a lot of time on that. You need to know how to dress. You need to know how to... All of this. The Bible says you need to dress appropriately. Dress appropriately for your age. So if I had known all this, then we could have spent a lot of time on it. But we don't have it, all right? So he didn't deny that reality. Believers should not deny your natural weaknesses, right? You don't have to deny the fact that you're old. Or on the other end of the spectrum,
You don't have to deny the fact that you're young. Stop trying to pretend you're older. You know, y'all know how it was when we were young? Oh, we used to go around scraping your lip, you know, wanted to pretend you had a mustache, and then you finally get a beard and you regret the day that that it ever happened. And no. Listen, young people, enjoy your youth. Enjoy it. God can still use you. God had a young king, right? David was a young boy when God called him. You don't have to be old to be used by God. Amen. And so don't consider that. Or the fact that you're unhealthy. You don't have to deny that. All of these programs saying, oh, you can't speak that out of your mouth. You speak curses on your mouth. Where did you get that from? If I'm sick, I'm sick. That's no curse. That's reality. Right? The Christian can face reality without trying to pretend, you know, and it's denying what's true. You can't say you're poor. Well, if I'm poor, what do you mean I can't say I'm poor? Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't buy into this foolishness that's called theology. Just because you're poor doesn't mean Jesus, the Lord can't use you. Well, look at him. He didn't have a home. Right? And I'm not saying that there's any righteousness in poverty. We've discussed that before. Just as there's no unrighteousness in being wealthy. That's not the issue. You just be content with how God has made you. Be content with where he's placed you, right? You don't have to deny that. Please don't do that. That's disingenuous.
And here's the reason why. Personal weaknesses do not prevent a believer from trusting the promise or the power of God. If you're old, you can trust the promise and the power of God. If you're young, you can trust the promise and the power, right? If you're unhealthy, you can trust God's promise. If you're poor, it doesn't matter. If he's called you to do something, he will provide the resources for it to be done.
Abraham waited 25 years. And I thought of this as I was working through this last night. Time doesn't affect God's promise. I wonder how long some of you have been waiting. And you think that maybe because I've waited so long that maybe it's not going to happen. Can't do that, my brother and my sister. Time does not affect the promise of God. If he said it, he'll bring it to pass. And I tell you something. Here's something that all of us need to accept. We all think we're ready long before we are. God tells you something. Ooh, I'm ready right now. You know, it's like the disciples. You got Jesus, send them out on a mission. They come back in. They were all like, you know, little kids. Lord, we did this and we did that. He said, settle down. Settle down. And that's what we all have to realize is that God knows how long we need work to be worked on us. But see, the promise is still there. The vision is still out there. The work needs to be done on us, getting us ready for the vision, right? It took 25 years. So deadness is an obstacle. The second one is what I call barrenness. Now you got to think with me. Think with me now. Abraham did not deny his own weaknesses, but Abraham did not deny the weaknesses of Sarah either, right? He did not deny Sarah's age. He did not deny Sarah's inability to bear children, okay? And so that isn't some negative when you talk about people's, when you accept people's shortcomings, right? Now stay with me here. Natural weaknesses personal weaknesses don't prevent a believer from experiencing the promise and the power of God, but neither does it affect those who want to help you. You see, people who
who are helping you have weaknesses too. And you can't be judgmental about their weaknesses because you got your own. You see? Abraham had his weaknesses, but so did Sarah. Well, now he can't go and judge Sarah because of her weaknesses when Abraham, look at your own, you see? But now neither one of you all is going to stop God's promise. Let Sarah do what she's, let her participate in what God has called you to do. Listen to me, Christian, every one of us. When God has sent somebody to help you, regardless of how weak or unable you are, you know, inexperienced they may be, let them help. They got their weaknesses just like you got yours. But if God called them to do it, the promise is just as good for them as it is for you. Amen, Christian? These can be obstacles, but they shouldn't. They shouldn't. Abraham learned, this is a statement that I want to leave you with on this point. Abraham learned not to trust human ability or human inability, but to put his trust in the promise and the power of God that never fails. Our abilities and our inabilities will change, but not the promise and power of God. A believer can honestly face weaknesses in everyone's life, including their own, and never lose faith in God's plans and purposes for their life. Finally, then we're going to look at, so that's the basis of biblical faith, and then we just looked at the obstacles to biblical faith, and then finally we'll look at what I call the nature of biblical faith. In verses 18 and 20, the first thing is what I call believing in hope. Look at Romans 4, verse 18. In hope, he believed against hope that he should not be, that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Now you see that phrase against hope? Hope against hope. That phrase against hope means that there was nothing natural to give Abraham hope, right? He couldn't look around. He couldn't look at himself and his circumstances and say, "This is the basis of my hope." No, it was against. There was nothing natural that could give him hope. That's the reason the Bible calls it against hope. Against hope. And don't you be surprised when you're facing those kind of situations. That's when your faith is tested. When there's nothing around you that says this is going to. It's going to come and pass, okay? He couldn't trust his youth. He couldn't trust his health. Yeah, none of those natural things. Godly hope, which is the Greek word elpis, and it means looking forward. You remember what I believe Jordan said this? It means looking forward to something good with confidence, right? That's what biblical hope means. I'm expecting God to work good here, right? I mean, that's, you know, that the big rocking chair verse, Romans 8, 28, right? God is at work. God causes all things, what? To work together for, what? Good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so, godly hope means looking forward to something good, but with confidence. The basis of this confidence is God himself and his word. In other words, this is not wishful thinking. I just certainly wish and hope that all going to turn out well today. That's not what the Bible, when the Bible talks about hope, we're not just wishing that something's going to be right or wrong. That's not hope. See, I'm not just wishing I go to heaven. Are you? So when we talk about our hope of heaven, or when the Bible says Christ in you, the hope of glory, that's not just wishful thinking. That's reality. And so heaven is just as much a reality for us now as it will be then. I mean, you understand what I'm saying. I mean, we aren't sitting around thinking that it may be. We're just waiting for the reality. Okay.
And this is not optimism. You see a lot of this on television. This speaking, tell Christians you speak your reality. This is foolishness. This is not that. Oh, who are you to be? You're not God. How are you going to speak reality?
Amen.
Now, Christians need to think about this. Okay. You need to say what God says.
Amen.
That's what your confidence is. Just say what God says. This is certainty. This is certainty. What is the certainty that we have? Hebrews 6, it is impossible for God what? To lie. It is impossible for God to lie. That's the reason it's certain. Abraham believed God and his word regardless of the natural obstacles and impossibilities. So that's believing and hope. And then finally, I call complete trust. Look at verse 20. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. The word waver, diakrino, means to be divided in one's mind or in one's thinking. Divided in your thinking. In other words, well, maybe God will or maybe he won't. You remember how James said that? Said about that? A double-minded person should what? You shouldn't be praying to God. You shouldn't expect anything from God. You need to have your mind made up. Right? You need to have your mind made up before you pray. So don't go to God that wishy-washy kind of maybe you will. See, praying if the Lord wills is not wishy-washy. Because if he wills, it's going to happen. If he doesn't will, it won't happen. That's not wishy-washy. That's just a fact. Amen. That's just a fact. So, Abraham did not have this divided thinking. Abraham, in his way I put it, think of it this way. Abraham never accepted the possibility that God was unable to keep his promise. That never... it was something that Abraham embraced. So he there was no double perspective in his mind. God can do. You remember what we read before? He was fully convinced that God was able to do everything that he's promised.
Amen.
That's a single focused mind believer.
Amen.
Regardless of what kind of you're going to have all the kind of detractors and doubters coming around you, just as with Job. You have to stay focused on God and his word.
Yeah.
Now, you pray that God would send you some people around you that will help you stay focused on God and his word. But you're obviously going to have your detractors. And then you notice Abraham's faith grew stronger. And I thought about this. This is really amazing. Abraham's faith grew stronger as the test got worse. Isn't it? You go back to verse 20. You see, no distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. And so, as the test became more impossible, Abraham's faith grew stronger. Why? I had to think about that. You need to think about it. Why would your faith grow stronger when the impossibility is becoming greater? It's because you got less and less confidence in you.
Amen. Amen.
If this is going to happen, who's going to do it?
God's
going to do it. That's it, my brother, my sister. That's the reason God, it takes a long time sometimes. God will not leave any room for anybody to boast.
Amen.
Amen.
Stop kicking with it. Stop trying to make things happen too soon. Those who wait on the Lord, you got to learn to wait on the Lord, right? Be of good courage while you wait. Wait on him. Learn to wait on him.
See, therefore, Abraham knew that there was nothing in he or Sarah that was going to work this out. So God alone was worthy of all the praise of what he would do. Nothing about this miracle was going to bring any glory to Abraham or Sarah. When a parent is teaching a child to walk, I thought about this over the weekend. When a parent is teaching a child to walk or swim or ride a bike, there's two things that I thought are very important. I want you to think with me. Matter of fact, I want you to think for a minute before I tell you. There are two things that are very important when a parent is teaching a child to walk. You go through that in your mind. You see that little infant, not infant, but you know, when they reach that age where they're trying to take those first two steps. Or you're teaching them to swim, you know, when they're really, really flailing around and afraid, or ride a bike. And nowadays, I know this is a little different with training wheels, but I want you to think about it without training wheels. Two things that are really important. Here's what they are. There may be others, but these two are for sure important. Words and hands. Right? You're going to teach your child to walk. Your words are important. What you say to them. The encouragement you give them, right? But they also need to see you right there. That hand means power. It means strength to them, right? You know how you do it? Remember how you stand them up, maybe, and then what do? You back off a little bit, but you still got what? That hand out there. So that they'll know, I'll get you, I'm going to catch you. Or when you're teaching them to swim, You got to settle them down. You know how they are. You settle them down. But you still keep that hand there. Right? You want them to know, I got you. And then you can gradually put it away. But you're still there. You're still, right? Or riding your bike. You encourage them. Those words encourage them. You may have to push them off a little bit. But you, in most cases, you have to run along. You remember how that is? You have to run along. That's the word. And that hand is what keeps that child encouraged, okay? My parents, they told me what to do, and they encouraged me when I was, you know, when that child falls, she said, come on, honey, get up, try it again, right? And they stayed there with me. That power was there to help me. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same in the kingdom of God. The child of God receives instructions from God. He tells us what to do. Then he encourages us to do it, and he says to you, my power will be available to you all along the way. I know you're going to fall. I know you're not going to do it all perfectly, but I'm going to be there with you. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to leave you. And that's the way it is in the kingdom of God for those who live by faith. So my beloved brothers and sisters, we can and we must follow Abraham's example of believing in hope against hope. Let me remind you again, struggling in our personal weaknesses and struggling with the weaknesses of believers helping us is still struggling in faith. You may be struggling, but you're struggling in faith and you're still struggling in hope. Struggling with old age, or struggling with poor health, or struggling with the lack of money, struggling with inexperience, is still struggling in faith. You haven't given up. You haven't given up just because you're wrestling with it. Don't miss this, all right? Struggling means that the flame hadn't gone out. You see? Struggling means that the flame is still there. It may be turned down a little bit, but that it's still there. Nurture it, and it'll build back to the fire in you. The flame of the Holy Spirit never dies. Nurture it. Feed that flame with the Word of God. Feed it with truth, and you'll see that the flame is still there. The Holy Spirit is still alive in us. Faith and hope in Christ is still alive in us. Determination and perseverance is still alive in us. Anticipation of God working all things together for good is still alive in us. Though you're struggling, it's still there. Still there. hasn't changed. Trust me. Trust the Lord. And the longer we struggle, and the longer we persevere, the stronger our faith will grow. I know you hadn't thought about that before, or thought of it that way, but I'm telling you, you don't know it, but the more you struggle, the stronger you get. Ask Caleb or any athlete. The more you test that muscle, right? The more pressure you put on it, the intensity grows, the strength grows. And you have to do it week after week after month, and you find yourself getting stronger. It's the same way with your soul, with your spirit. Don't grow weary because you're being tested. You're growing stronger.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Yeah.
Now you may look weaker on the outside. I'm not talking about that. You understand? I'm talking about, you remember how the Bible said, though our outer a man is decaying, the inner is what is growing stronger, right? It's the weaker we become, the less confident we'll have, less confidence we'll have in ourselves, and the more confidence in Jesus will develop. The more confidence we have in Jesus, the more we'll praise the Lord. Because our help comes from Him. All of it. All of our faith is in Him. The weaker we get. All of our hope is in Him. The weaker we get. All of our joy is wrapped up in Him. The weaker we get. Because I cannot do this. All of the glory belongs to Him. The weaker we become. So my brother, my sister, we need to learn with Paul. Then Lord, I'll boast in my weaknesses. That the power of God may be displayed in me. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up on God's promises. Never give up. He cannot lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He never would have called you if He didn't plan to finish. He thought it through before He called you. He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows how it's going to turn out. Don't give up. Don't give up.
Yes. Yes.
Hope against hope. Keep on believing. And if you're not a Christian, you can have hope today too.
Yes, you can.
The hope is in Jesus, who lived a sinless life for you. The hope is in Jesus, who died a sinless death for you. Jesus satisfied all of God's demands, my friend. All you need to do is trust Him. He'll save you. That's hope for you. That's hope for that good to come to you today if you'll simply believe. Our Father, thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
For your goodness and grace toward us. Thank you for being patient with us as we face our own troubles and difficulties, and we look at our own personal weaknesses and the weaknesses of those who are serving Christ with us. And forgive us for the time that we have faltered and complained. Help us to grow stronger as the test grows and the circumstances grow more impossible. For we know that though the test may be impossible, it's equally more impossible for you to lie. Whatever you have said, we say with our brother Abraham, we know that you're able to do.